outfit tonight, wasn't it? They sang so much more like women this morning. No, I'm just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Calm down. Calm down. No, I appreciate my wife singing with me. Always great to hear her sing. Amen. I am the backing band when she's up. There's no doubt I'm the backup guy. But I'll let loose in a minute if you want me to, though. Just preach? Okay, okay. Just checking, see what y'all want to do. Now, as we look in this chapter, we've been looking in Luke chapter 3 here. You've got the key verses being verse 3 and 4. It says, he came to all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Esaias, as the prophet sang, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And we saw that there's 38 verses, 1,017 words, all inspired by God, kept forever. And we're going to find why this is a 19.2 grade level chapter. It's because of all the names at the end of the chapter. The first part of this chapter deals with the ministry of his forerunner, which is John the Baptist. And then starting at verse 23, we pick up with the members of his family. And it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, it says, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. If you hold your place here, look over at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, you'll see another little genealogy over here. And we'll get down here to Mr. Joseph over here. In verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph. Look over, back over here in Luke. It says in verse 23 that Joseph, which was the son of Heli, Heli was Mary's father. Right. Now, I want you to understand this. This is not a contradiction in Scripture. If you think it is, if you think there's something wrong with the Bible, just back up, wait on God to show you something. Amen. Here's what you've been waiting on, just in case you hadn't already thought about this. When you marry her, her father becomes your father, and your father becomes her father. You're linked there, and that's what God's trying to show you here. We call them outlaws and in-laws, but you join now.
Right.
Ain't going to be mine. Too late. If you signed the papers, they already, this is a done deal.
Wow.
Ain't that something? You listen, you thought she is an old hag mother-in-law. Guess what? She's your mama. I can feel the feedback, but you know what? I'm immune to it. I drank a cup of coffee before I come. I'm having to slow down so I don't wind up too quick. Amen. The son of Heli, which this is going to be Mary's genealogy here. We had Joseph over Matthew chapter 1. This is Mary's over here. Verse 24, which was the son of Matthat, which is the son of Levi, which is the son of Melchi, which is the son of Janna, which is the son of Joseph, which is the son of Matthias, which is the son of Amos, which is the son of Nahum, which is the son of Esli, which is the son of Nagi, which is the son of Maath, which is the son of Matthias, which is the son of Simei, which is the son of Joseph, which is the son of Judah, which is the son of Joanna, which is the son of Resha, which is the son of Zorobabel, which is the son of Shealtiel, which is the son of Neri, which is the son of Melchi, which is the son of Adi, which is the son of Cosim, which is the son of Elmodim, which is the son of which is the son of Hosea, which is the son of Eleazar, which is the son of Joram, which is the son of Mathat, which is the son of Levi, which is the son of Simeon, which is the son of Judah, which is the son of Joseph, which is the son of Jonam, which is the son of Eliakim, which is the son of Meliah, which is the son of Milnon, which is the son of Mattathiah, which is the son of Nathan, which is the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which is the son of Obed, which is the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which is the son of Naasson, which is the son of Aminadab, which is the son of Aram, which is the son of Ezram, which is the son of Perez, which is the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which is the son of Isaac, which is the son of Abraham, which is the son of Terah, which is the son of Nahor, which is the son of Sarek, which is the son of Ragal, which is the son of Phalak, which is the son of Heber, which is the son of Selah, which was the son of Canaan, which is the son of Arphaxad, which was the son of Sem, which is the son of Noah, which is the son of Lamech, which is the son of Methuselah, which is the son of Enoch, which is the son of Jared, which was the son of Malaleel, which is the son of Canaan, which is the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which is the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Now that that's over with, we're going to get down to what I'm going to talk about tonight. We're going to look in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and do this whole thing again. But tonight, as we look tonight, I want to show you some things about this I believe be a help to you tonight. It's the Lord's line of ancestry. The Lord's lines of ancestry. And there are three different lines we're going to look at in this thing here. I hope this makes a whole lot of sense to you and helps you out tonight. As we look at the Lord's line of ancestry, let's all go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask Him for His help. Father, we love You. We thank You, God, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. And we pray, God, that You'll move and do a great work and help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to go through the things of Scripture tonight and to have Your understanding on the matter, Lord God, as You teach us. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. I pray, God, You'd help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, being an in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for His sake. Amen. As we look tonight at these lines of Jesus' ancestry, the first one we run into in verse 24 down to verse 31, and I might spare you pronouncing all these again, but the first line is the royal line. It covers the fact that He was the king. And if you'll notice, the name that you see that you see a lot in Scripture that will really bring this thing alive to you is the name David down in verse 31. That royal line, this line puts Jesus as the king of the Jews. The king of the Jews. Now Herod was their appointed king over here by the Romans, but he was Idumean. He wasn't a Jew at all, and they put him over it because he was nothing more and nothing less than a dirty scumbag politician. You can say amen to that, because that's what he was. That's the truth. He was not a king. He was not of a royal line. He was not a guy that you could trust to be the king of a country. Right. Kind of like some of these kings we got around the world right now. They shouldn't be trusted to be in charge because they're dictators and not kings. The reason I say they're like that's this. When somebody goes and uses poor people to get accomplished to keep them rich, that's no longer a king. That's somebody who has selfish interests. But what they don't realize is, if you'll hold your place here and look over Psalm 138, there's a catch to being the king. There's a catch to being the king. I meant to tell you Proverbs 21, not Psalm 138. My bad. Working without a net up here, you understand. I had two verses on my mind. I'm wanting Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. They may be the king, but God can direct what's going on right through heaven just because he can. See, these kings, a lot of them, they get on a throne and they think, I'm the king, I'm in charge now. You may be the king, but somebody put you there, and it wasn't your people, and it wasn't your daddy, and it wasn't your daddy dying or your mama dying. It was God, and if you truly are a king, guess what? God will turn you to do things. Right. And the royal line of Jesus over here in Luke chapter 3, we see that down through this name. I know some of you probably recognize some of these names we went down through here. Being in the king's line, they were kings also. And what these people was, listen, they were people that God used to either bring righteousness to Israel or bring judgment to Israel. See, that's the thing about the Lord having the king's heart. It don't matter who you vote in office. If God intends judgment to come, it's coming. Right. We've had good presidents in this country. We've had bad presidents, and God used both. He'll bring them in. He'll use them however he wants to. But when we're dealing with the royal line of Israel, we're not talking about presidents. We're talking about just Israel over here. And in order to have this thing right here that we got right here, it goes back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, about the Davidic covenant, where God said, I'm going to establish my covenant with David. God so intends that thing to stay there that he kept the royal line alive. You may think it died out when they went into captivity, but I got news for you. God keeps the records. In 70 AD, when the Romans destroyed the temple over there in Jerusalem, they don't know who begat who now. They don't know who's in what tribe and all that other stuff. All the records are still in the home office in heaven. And eventually, God's going to call out 12,000 out of each tribe, and they're not even going to know which ones they are. They're just going to know they've been called to God to go out and share the gospel. They may look at each other and say, now, are you with the tribe of Benjamin, Reuben, or what are you? And they won't let them know, but they'll know they've been called to God, and they'll total up to 144,000. They'll all be male Jewish virgins, and none of them will be Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
They'll be doing what they're doing right now. They'll be following the Antichrist. But as for these kings, they're all used of God for whatever God wants for that country. In our country in particular, we look around and we say, well, I don't understand all this. Let me help you understand it. It don't matter what you are in this world. You are born either Jew, Gentile, you know, one of the two. And before you leave this world, you're either a Jew or a Gentile, or you in the church. It's real simple. Now, here's the difference. If you're a Jew, you might be of the line of Judah. That don't make you a king.
Right.
But if you're in the church, you're the son of a king now. And one day you're going to rule and reign with him on this earth. Why? Because he's of the royal line, and so are you now, because you've been born again into a new family.
Right.
And we think about him being a direct descendant of King David, and we look at the royal line here. Secondly, if you look down at this, listen, the religious line. You've got a guy shows up. Look down at verse 32, which is the son of Jesse, Obed, Boaz. And Boaz married a Gentile, of all things. How about that? How'd she get in there? There's always one in every crowd. But you back these names up and you come down and get to verse number 34, which is the son of Jacob. Remember him? Which is the son of Isaac, which is the son of Abraham. Now we deal not with just the royal line, but also you see the religious line of these people. From Abraham, who come out of Ur of the Chaldees, then we go on down and we get down to where that guy Jacob is. Jacob gets his name changed over there in Genesis, and he becomes, who was it again? Israel. Now all of a sudden they're Jews. That name comes a little bit later, but nonetheless, you've got Abraham being a Hebrew, and we got that thing coming down. They're Jewish people now. They're recognized under his name as Jews, and the thing comes out there, and now there's so many of them, you can't number them. God told Abraham, said, I'm going to do you like this, Abraham. I'm going to make your seed as the grains of sand where you can't number them. We walked on the beach the other week, and I was down there, dressed like a human being, by the way. Say amen right there. I took my shirt off from my wife. We was in private. She said, you got a tan line around your neck. Say redneck right there. Amen. Listen. But I noticed something as we were walking on that sand. If I'd have picked up and tried to just count what was in my hand, it'd been impossible. You know how many Jews there are in this world? Nobody knows. When God said they're innumerable, as there is the stars in heaven. On a clear night, I look up and I see all them stars up there, and I think, man, that's incredible. If I started numbering them right now, and if I could get all the ones I could see numbered, there's more past that, and more past that, and more past that. And I promise you this, they ain't made it yet, but one day they'll make a telescope that'll look further than that, and they'll find even more. Where are these things coming from? God put them there. He said, if you could count all them, he said, you still wouldn't be able to count what you got down here in that line of Abraham that's still around. They've tried to exterminate them like cockroaches and tell them they wasn't nothing, but yet God kept those people here. When everybody says the Bible's not true, I look towards the nation of Israel, I say, true. You want to see God's timepiece? You look at them, you'll see that that's God's timepiece. Then people are getting off over there and headed back towards Jerusalem right now. They don't even know why they come back home. And they'll get over there and they'll get off the airplane and kiss the tarmac where their feet first touched down and are thanking God and crying out of both sides of their face, thanking God to be back in their homeland. Isn't that something? God give them that. There was a man who wrote a book back in 2012, I believe it was. I can't remember his name. But he said that every time America does something to Israel bad, we get it back within 24 hours. Every time we've asked them to give up land, guess what? A mysterious hurricane blows in on the East Coast, goes straight up and destroys the George H. Bush vacation home. They made a movie about that thing. That was so strange. Hurricanes don't just go and right into that area. That's why they build vacation homes there. There's no danger up there. Yet you mess with Israel, all of a sudden that thing raised to the ground. Here's a crazy thing. Like father, like son. Here, you give some of that land back to those Palestinians, fake people. They're all Arabs. They're from Egypt and Saudi Arabia. They're not. There's no Palestinians. And what do? They sit there and say, well, we're going to do this. Next thing you know, there's this thing come in. And what was that thing's name again? Katrina. And again, another natural disaster comes in and goes right to our country. Listen, they're going to keep fooling around with this stuff, and they're going to figure out something before long. We mess with Israel, God messes with us.
Yep.
We've had one president do something nice for Israel, and all the liberals went nuts.
Yep.
So what was the nice thing? Here it is. They recognized Jerusalem as their capital. Would you believe we've been recognizing Tel Aviv as their capital, and that's not their capital?
Yep.
We had one president say, you know what, let's recognize Jerusalem. People from San Francisco is going nuts. What do you care? Unless you are following that same Antichrist I'm talking about and you just hate Israel without a cause. When I look for somebody to vote for on that presidential side, I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent. I don't know what they're going to do with Israel. Because that's going to determine a lot about our country. I noticed this. As soon as that paper was signed, gas was a dollar. But as soon as it was tore up, another one signed that thing to get rid of them. Boy, everything went like that, didn't it? You've been looking at the wrong thing. It's Israel God's dealing with, not America. I've heard people say, well, America's not in Bible prophecy. Really? Well, let me ask you a question. If they get surrounded from all sides, who gets that left side over? Somebody's coming through the sea paddling towards them. Could it be? Yeah, but what about the eagle? Don't look too far into that stuff. Look that way. Because the most important thing is not who's coming these ways, but who's coming from that way. So who's coming? Get this. The religious leader of the people is coming back.
Right.
He tells them in Matthew chapter 24 to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When they get surrounded over during the end of the tribulation, guess what? Jesus is coming back with the church. And you know why he's bringing us? We're going to rule and reign with him in just like 24 hours. But prior to that, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pay back all the debts. Just like that. They're going to say, man, we got our armies. There's no way he'll ever weigh. He's going to do it. He's going to ride in. He's going to tell us to stand back and watch. And out of the sword that comes out of his mouth, he's going to wipe them all clean and be done with them. There's going to be blood up to the horse's bridle. Why? Because this religious line puts Jesus Christ as their promised Messiah. Whether they believe it or not right now, which they don't, there's a veil put over them. But he was the one that was prophesied that would take away the sins of the world and come back and be their promised Messiah that would save them from the other nations. You ever wonder why everybody hates them? It's because this Bible come from them. It's because God's Son come from their line. His blood flows. Listen, his blood flowed on this earth and flowed out of him as part Jewish blood and part God's blood. He died for the sins of the world and shed his blood for them. And through that religious line, we found out one thing. He's the King of Kings, but he's a Jewish king. And he observes the Jewish religion, and he kept the Jewish law, something also that had never been done. The Pharisees that looked down on the common people say, you don't keep the law like we do. We fast twice in the week, blah, blah, blah. We're so righteous, you can't even, listen, you don't even can't hold a candle to us. You know what he called all of them? Through his man, John the Baptist, he said, that's a generation of vipers. He called them hypocrites himself. You know what they are? They're hypocrites. They're snakes. They're cold, dead, ungodly. And you know what he is? The godly one that's able to not only to save sinners, but secure them as well. And listen this, he's not cut the Jew off. This religious line shows you something here. He come through that Jew, and he come through it to be the king. But there's one more line that we can't miss down here in the latter part of verse 34, and that's the racial line. Look at this thing here. He was the son of Abraham, was son of Terah, son of Nahor, on down through there, the son of Canaan. And listen, his racial line comes through that Jew, and this line proves the Jewish ancestry of the Lord, and he's a Jewish Messiah that come all the way in his traces the lineage all the way back to Adam, all the way back to God. That's important because your Bible said he's the last Adam. See, God gave this thing to Adam and said, it's all yours. Here's what you got to do. don't eat this. Is that what he said? Well, then somebody come along and said, "Ah, well, God knows if you eat that, you'll be just like him." And the one who didn't hear God say it added to it. You know, she said, we can't eat it or touch it. She added to God's word. Devil subtracted and she added to it. That explains all these Bible translations. That way you know who's behind which one. Whether it's man doing it, adding to the words, or is the devil subtracting words from it. We only have the Bible as our final authority of faith and practice. And when we see stuff like that happen, we know who's behind it, which one it is. And when we get to looking at this racial line of Jesus, everybody who subscribes in modern versions all head towards one route. Are you ready for the route they're headed to? They want to get rid of this Jew. Wonder why? Well, you remember that thing called World War II? You do remember we won that, right? We beat them. But yet they've been beating us for 70 solid years without firing a shot. The Japanese have done it through business. And the Germans have done it through theology. There's a growing movement of compromise in America. And that compromise came out of those German seminaries over there. And all these Bible correctors that crept into these seminaries over here that subscribed to all that stuff. And they've been teaching our preacher boys for 70 years, this ain't the Bible. They've been teaching them, well, you know, there's also this thing of, you know, God replaced that Jew with the church. And all the promises of the Jew went to the church. No, they didn't. They lied to you. See, because God is letting you know through his word, he's got his royal line, he's got his religious line where he kept the law, but he's got his racial line through that Jew all the way back to Adam. And what God shows us through all that and through the rest of the scriptures, this progressive revelation of the redemption story and of the story of Jesus Christ, is that God is not done with that Jew. These guys get over Matthew chapter 24 that thank God to replace the Jew with the church, and they come up with mid and post-tribulation rapture because they can't make sense of it if you've got that in your head going in. You don't have something in your head going into the scriptures. You clear your brain and you get in there and see what the Bible says and put that in your brain. Listen, Sammy Allen said it better than anybody I've ever heard. He said this. He said, a man don't read a Bible and become a Calvinist. He reads Calvinistic books and becomes a Calvinist. He reads the Bible, he becomes a Bible-believing Christian. And listen, he'll believe God ain't done with a Jew, and he'll be pre-tribulation rapture, and he'll be local church just reading the Bible with no help from no human being on this side of the grave. There's things that people don't understand about the Bible. I'm one of them. There's things I don't understand, but the things I do understand scare me to death. And when they start taking and trying to replace that Jew, I'm reminded that God says, don't touch the apple of his eye. Talking about that nation of Israel. Has it ever occurred to some of them guys that the problems you have right now is because you keep messing with that Jew? You keep putting your finger on that Jew, and you keep putting your mouth on that Jew, and you keep having problems, and you think you're suffering for the Lord. Listen, it's not that you're suffering for the Lord. You're suffering because you're going against him, against what he said. Let me ask you this. Do you believe the Bible? You know this Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Now, you folks that do believe in that, you believe that God is who he says he is, and you believe he's not done with the Jew, let me ask you this question. Do you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Amen. Pray and ask God every day, give them people peace, because God knows they got more terrorist attacks over there that we never hear about on the news here that's going on. Yeah. A friend of mine, I cannot say this on the air, but I'll say it to you privately if you ask me later, sent me a video when Joe Biden's up there rambling on about nuclear war and how we doing this, that, and the other, and just keeps on about that. Here comes a missile up the coast. Right down the coast up here. Put his phone up. God, I thought I was looking at a shooting star till I saw that smoke coming out the back of it, and the closer it got, you could tell what it was. These people are mucking around with something. They don't even know what they're mucking with. And I know some of you's thinking, and some of y'all out there is thinking as well, that what's going to happen is nuclear war is going to wipe it all out and ain't no God. Guess what? If we have to throw rocks at each other, there's going to be people left, and some of them's going to be Jews. Yeah. They can push all the buttons they want to. Isn't that something? Yeah. When we look at the racial line, listen, can I tell you something about Jesus? He was a Jew. He wasn't black. Candace Owens just exposed that Black Lives Matter crowd, made a whole documentary out of the thing, how they took $80 million and they spent it on transgender identity and all this other stuff and towards that garbage, and ain't helped out black people at all. Yeah. And then these religious leaders lie to him and tell him Jesus was black because his hair was like wool. You're reading something that ain't there. He was a Jew. Jews have hair like that. Some of y'all scared to death. He said something about black people. Well, you may say it again. Jesus was not black.
Amen.
Now for all of you that said amen, Jesus was not white.
Amen.
Dear Lord, at the people that paint up white Jesus and the worst culprits are the Mormons. They want to make him white so bad they can't stand it. He was a Jew.
Right.
Now listen to this. When I see pictures of black Jesus, I understand they've been lied to, but when I see white Jesus, come on. Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
You know how I know he wasn't white? Tell you how I know. He only run with 12. If he had been white, he'd have 500 disciples following him around and trying to figure out how to get more. That's what Japheth does. He got off the ark and tried to build everything bigger. Ham got off and tried to entertain everybody. Shem got off and said, wait a minute. You ever wonder why God makes you wait? You in a hurry to do it because you're Japheth. He's Shem. He says, oh, just wait. That's why you got to learn verse in the Bible. Wait on the Lord. He don't want you to become a Jew, by the way. I don't support Jewish missionaries try to become a Jew to win a Jew. That ain't how you do this. They ain't an example of that one in the Bible. Paul went in the synagogue, and you know what happened next? Do you know? He either got stoned to death, thrown out, or they tried to kill him. Or they stoned him and left him for dead. Why? Because he went in there alleging that Christ was their Messiah, and they didn't want to hear it. I told you the other night, I'm so sick of these people talking about how tough they are, ain't none of them been arrested for preaching. Not one of them. Yours truly included. Ain't that something? We so tough, bless our hearts. If we ever got full of the Holy Ghost, it'd scare us and everybody around us to death. And I don't mean we'd be flopping like a fish out of water. We'd have power on us, and dude from on high would be used of God, and the devil would not be sitting there saying, that's a good sermon there. That's a good sermon there. Listen, I see this racial line. He wasn't white. And might I tell you something? Every picture you probably got hanging on your wall is an Italian Jesus. So how do you know? The hair and the nose give it away. He's too pretty. True story. I was with a pastor last week. He told a friend of ours, he said, now you got to act right when you get in fellowship, Paul. He said, why? He said, because Jesus is watching you. There's this big 8-foot picture of Jesus in there. He used to have it over the baptistry. You talking about almost had a church split when he took that thing down? Boy, there's a fight like you wouldn't believe over Italian Jesus. Ain't that something? So how do you know he's Italian Jesus? Well, it's the hair it gives away first. And then I see movies where they cast men to play Jesus that are white or Italian. I'm thinking, y'all never seen where he's a Jew in the Bible? How do you not know that?
Right.
He came into his own received him. I mean, that was Jewish people. He wasn't born of a Roman by no stretch of the imagination. He was all Jewish. Now listen to this. That line proves the Jewish ancestry of the Lord that we're looking at. He's the Jewish Messiah that is the Savior of the world. But I want to introduce you to another thought tonight by saying this. You cannot go to heaven based on anything I just told you.
That's right.
The royal line of Jesus, that won't get you to heaven. You could have been born, you could be a Jew that's born of that line and you don't know it, but that wouldn't get you to heaven. You could be of the religious line of Jesus. You could be sitting here a Jew tonight, and that wouldn't get you to heaven just because you're a Jew. You could convert from what you are to being a Jew. Gentiles do that all the time. But you know what? That wouldn't make you heaven bound. Listen, you could literally be a Jew in the flesh and that not get you to heaven. It takes accepting what this Jewish Savior did for the sins of the world, which is die on a cross, shedding His precious blood so that you might be saved. When God deals with you with your sins, you know what He's dealing with you with? That you are entirely depraved and you are hopelessly lost without coming to Him to be saved. Your job in the whole matter is not to clean up your act. That's his job. Your job is to accept the free gift of salvation that God has offered the world through that shed blood of his son. So where did I get some of that blood? You get it when you ask the Savior to save you, and he puts it on your account in heaven, and your account's wiped clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Why? They're written down in the color that blood is, and he writes over the top of them, and they're gone. The colors cancel out each other. There was a thing that happened in the Revolutionary War. These British soldiers would come in, and they would get near a church because they knew that the colonies would not attack a church. Didn't matter what the church was. One of the preachers at one of those churches, they had red stained glass in that wall, and he was in there one day, and they had just started occupying that area, and he woke up one morning, went down there, and he walked by them, walked inside the church, walked in there to pray, and he looked outside, and there was the white coats. He thought, what in the world has happened now? He said, I walked in here, and the guy started putting on white coats, and it made him mad, and he walked outside, and looked, they were all red coats. And he walked back inside and looked out again, and he dawned on him about that red, canceling out that red. He said, though my sins were scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He said, God, I don't know how this war is going to end, but I know how my life's going to end. Because of your shed blood, not because of your royalty, not because of your religious line, not because of your racial line, but Lord, because your shed blood will cancel out my sin the same way that red cancels out that red over there. Hey, do you know this Jewish Messiah? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Not the thought of him, him. Not what he said he did, but actually what he did. You've accepted that for you. See, the most important decision that anybody ever makes in their life is they realize they're a sinner. I've heard people say, well, that's just buying fire insurance and all this other stuff. No, bless your heart. Listen, that's what them Germans in those seminaries have corrupted these Americans with by trying to tell you that you are buying fire insurance. And don't tell people about hell. That'll scare them away. You can tell you something. You preach on hell from the Bible, somebody will scare them, and it won't be you. If they get an understanding of it, they'll realize something. What scares them is not that there's a place called hell, but that they deserve hell. And when you come to Jesus Christ, listen to this, you don't get an insurance policy. You know why? Every one of them die. There's an expiration date on every one of them. If you got life insurance, guess what? If you die, the policy's over. So will it pay off? Yeah, but don't go no further than that. You know what Jesus does? He preserves you for eternity. That's not an insurance policy. What is that? That's eternal life. That's where he comes to where you at, and he brings eternal life with him. Now you got everlasting life because you've accepted what he did for you on the cross. That's how good God is, and that is his son. That is his royal, religious, racial of a Jew son that come to die for the sins of everybody that wasn't a Jew and everybody that was a Jew so that he might bring you everlasting life, which you can only have through believing on him and accepting what he did for your sins. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.